Good morning and welcome to the service. We are appreciative of the opportunity this morning to come together to worship God, and I'm encouraged by your presence, and it's good to be back with the congregation that regularly meets here, and it's good to be back with you, and I hope that our study will be profitable this morning. I appreciate your prayers on my behalf, having been out of town this past week, and I believe that good was done in the Shelbyville area, and I hope that some fruit can be born from that work in days to come. I would like to continue our series of lessons this morning that I've entitled Defend Your Faith, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where Peter says there that we must always be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us. We've been studying the subject of Christians defending what they believe. We must not only know what we believe, but why we believe it, and then be willing to speak up for that. So we must be always ready to give an answer or to give a reason or a defense. The word there, translated answer, is from the Greek word apologia, from which we get apologetics. It literally means a defense. And so defend your faith, the importance of that. In past lessons, we have answered some important questions. Number one, we answered the question, is faith reasonable? Number two, we answered the question, is there a God? Number three, we answered the question, is the Bible the Word of God? And in our fourth lesson, we answered the question, is Jesus Christ the divine Son of God? This morning, I want to answer another question that is posed to us on a regular basis, and that is Christianity the only way to God? Look at the scripture reading that we had this morning in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, isn't that an exclusive claim? It is. It excludes all other ways to God. And so this morning we want to answer this question, is Christianity the one and only way to God? The reason this is important in our series of lessons is that we are becoming increasingly more a nation of a multiplicity of religions. At work, you may be asked this question. At school, you may be asked this question. In your community, you may be asked this question, because more and more individuals are either not religious at all, or some religion other than following the New Testament church and the New Testament way of following Jesus Christ. One of the most popular topics in the matter of giving a defense, then, is the subject of Christianity as it relates to other religions. Many people believe that it's un-American. It's actually un-American to claim that Christianity is the only way to God, because we live in a country that accepts all religions. We live in a culture of tolerance and pluralism, which means a plurality of religions are fine. Our culture advocates what we might call a different strokes for different folks approach to religion. Just different strokes for different folks. If you want that, that's fine. And if somebody else wants Wicca, and if somebody else wants Satanism, we have a Church of Satan in our country. If that's what you want, that's fine. According to many, all you need is simply to be sincere in religious service. And you don't even have to be worshiping the God of the Bible. It can just be a supreme being of whatever definition you might want. We're told that we should not be exclusive about our religion. But again, look at John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, no one, underscore that, no one cometh to the Father but by me. That's exclusive. That's not inclusive. That's exclusive. It does not include all ways. It excludes everything but Jesus Christ. Let's look at another example of this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John are preaching in the temple. And they're preaching in the name of Jesus, and they're performing miracles in the name of Jesus by His authority. Verse 12, Peter says, and in none other is there salvation. Underscore that in your Bible. That's exclusive. That's not inclusive. None other. There's no other way to be saved. In none other is there salvation. For neither is any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. There's no other name. In other words, there's no other authority. There's no other way to be saved. That's exclusive. According to many in our culture today, all religions are equal, similar in teaching, and acceptable to God or some supreme being. This approach, then, allows us to feel comfortable in our religion, and it's actually considered by many the enlightened attitude in our modern society. If you want to be enlightened, you need to get off this old archaic wagon of Christianity is the only way to God. And you need to get with the modern times, and you need to get enlightened, and you need to have an inclusive approach to religion. Someone has said, and I quote, "The real religion of most Americans is equality." In other words, all things are equal. That is their absolute self-evident value. God must be an American, an equal opportunity employer. All religious roads, if only followed sincerely, must equally lead to God. And so this attitude that God is an equal opportunity employer, all religions get a standing in His eyes, and all religions lead to Him. And so we need to study then the importance of is Christianity the only way? We need to be ready to give an answer for that. And Jesus, turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 24. It's an important question. It's not some casual, sideline question. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am," that is the I am of the Old Testament, the I am of God, "unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Well, what we're hearing today is, I don't have to have anything to do with Jesus. And I can be right with my supreme being. That's the complete opposite of what Jesus said. Except you believe. Except means except. It means if and only if you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so, if Jesus is telling the truth, then religion is narrowed down so narrow that it's Jesus only. Wow, that is so un-American today. And so we're going to have to be ready when we go out into our various phases of life and activities of life to address this question. And so we put it in our lesson then of series, Defend Your Faith. Is Christianity the only way? What would you say to that? How would you answer that? And I hope that our lesson this morning will help us along those lines. The interesting thing about this is, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14 that there are two ways. There's a broad way that's leading to destruction, and there's a narrow way that's leading to eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 that some will spend eternity in hell, and others will spend eternity in heaven. Jesus says that there's different ways. Not everybody's traveling the same way. The interesting thing about this question this morning is that the inclusive approach to religion, that is, that all religions are fine, would ultimately lead to everyone being saved. Stop and think about it. If all religions are fine, then eventually everybody's going to be saved. But Jesus said, no, not everybody's going to be saved. There are many that are traveling the broad way that lead to destruction, and some are going to spend eternity in hell. Matthew 25, 41, with the devil and his angels. But the teaching today is that ultimately everybody is fine. Everybody's right with God. My question is this, where do you draw the line? Let me ask you this. If any religion is fine, and if the inclusive approach to religion is of what we're supposed to be about today, wouldn't that include Satanism? Could you be a member of the Church of Satan and still go to heaven? In other words, look at the logic of this question. If all religions are fine, then where do you draw the line? The logic of it is, the consequence of it is, everything's fine. Well, no. I draw the line at the Church of Satan. Well, if you're going to draw the line, who gives you the right to draw that line? And how are you drawing the line? There is a line that's to be drawn. Jesus said, except you believe that I am, or I am the only way to God. Yes, He draws the line, but if you draw the line out farther, then who gives you the right to draw that line? Let me ask you this. If all religions are fine, does that include the religion of David Koresh, deadly cults? Does that include the cult of Jim Jones back in the 70s who had all of his followers drink that poisonous Kool-Aid? You see, if all religion, not all religion. Well, okay then you've drawn the line. And wherever you draw that line, my question is, who gives you the right to draw the line there? And by what standard do you draw that line? The point is, a line has already been drawn by Jesus himself. And so we just simply need to think through that. Ask your friend who says, well, I don't believe Christianity is the only way. Because, you know, in this office here, I have great Muslim friends. And I have some Buddhist friends, and I have some Hindu friends. And really, all religions are fine. And you need to get off this idea that being a Christian is the only way to God. Just simply ask them, all religions are fine? Yeah, all religions are fine. Okay, can I be a member of the Church of Satan? Oh, no, no. Well, you've just drawn the line. And then all, well, not, that's not a real religion. Oh, it's a religion. And David Koresh and Jim Jones and others, those are real religions just as much as any man-made religion. Well, it doesn't include them. Well, then you've drawn a line. Then you don't believe all religions are going to heaven, just like I don't either. And so you put that back on them, and you get them to think about the logic of that question. But there's something else that we need to look at before we get into some Bible matters. Consider the logic of this question, and that is that all religions are fine. Well, how is it that opposing religions can all be right at the same time when they're teaching opposite things? That's a logical impossibility. That would be like having 2 plus 2 equals 4 and 2 plus 3 equals 4. We know that that can't exist. And so you have all these religions teaching opposite things, and yet people say, well, they're all fine, right? That's a logical impossibility. And so we just simply need to think through that and look through that. Many people have a worldview. A worldview is just simply how they live their life, and their religion allows them to carry out their worldview. And so our worldview is biblical. We base our life on God's Word, and our service to God comes by being a New Testament Christian. And we'll be presenting that more later. So let's turn now to the matter of presenting our case. Do you remember in our series of lessons that we've been having, the first thing that we want to do is we always want to present our case. If somebody said to you, is Christianity the only way? We don't have an option of saying, I don't know. I guess I got to call my preacher. That's not an option. 1 Peter 3:15, we need to be ready to give an answer. And so in an offensive way, we are going to present our case. And then we've always closed our series of lessons with being able, in a defensive way, to defend any objections or arguments or critiques that are given to us. So we want to, in a positive way, present our case for Christianity being the only way to God and serving God. And it begins back in Genesis chapter 1. Turn with me there. I want to give you some things that you can say to present in a positive way how it is that in just a sea of religions, just many, not hundreds, thousands of religions, how it is that in this popular world, 21st century, with thousands of religions, how can you say with confidence and truth that Christianity is the only way? Well, first of all, you tell your friends that man-made religions today are in rebellion to God. There's only one true God. And, listen, in the very beginning of time, there was only one true religion. Have you ever thought about this? What religion did Adam and Eve have? Were there hundreds and thousands of religions in the Garden of Eden? No, in the Garden of Eden, there was God. There was God's word to Adam and Eve, and they were serving God. There was no Islam, there was no Buddhism, there was no Hinduism, there was no Church of Satan or anything else. There was God and a first couple. Look with me at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. There's just God. And he makes man and woman. And look in chapter 2 and verse 16. He put them in the garden to dress and keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You've got God. You've got a command given to Adam and Eve. All mankind from the beginning of time had a revelation from the one true God. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam and Eve knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. I've gotten a man from the help of Jehovah. And again she bare her brother Abel. Verse 3.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto Jehovah. Let me ask you this. Where did he learn to do that? Who taught him to do that?
God gave them a revelation. There was no varieties of religion. There was a one true God, and there was a period of time when people followed the one true God. All religions today, and all religions that have ever come and gone in the process of time and history, they've all been something different than what was there in the very beginning. They're in rebellion to the one true God. They're in rebellion to His Word that was there in the very beginning. So what we have in the very beginning is one true God, an original couple that have gotten a revelation from that one true God, and then immediately you begin to see where Abel wants to follow that Word, but Cain, well, I don't want to follow that Word. And so you begin to see, well, I don't want to do what God told me to do. I don't want to do what He told my parents to do, Adam and Eve. I want to do something different. As a result, he kills his brother from that. But you begin to see that we're in rebellion. Now we're adding something different. Look at the very first family. Abel did what was right, the one true religion. Cain is over here. Well, now we have one other option, don't we? We have what Abel did, the one true religion. Now we have one other option. Wouldn't it be neat if we lived in a world where there were just two religions? The right one and then one other one. Wouldn't that be neat? We have thousands. How do we have that? Well, once Cain broke off and said, I want to do something a little different, what does that open the door to? Then everybody after that can begin to say, well, I don't have to do the one true religion. So come down to chapter 6 then, and in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Look at verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Man-made religions and things that deviate from God. In the passing of time, now we have all kinds of wickedness over the earth. So it started off, the one true God, giving a revelation to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve taught their two sons what was right. Abel chose to do what was right. Cain chose to do what was wrong. And that set up this idea of other people doing other kinds of things. So much so that you get down to the point of the ark, and it's so wicked that everybody is doing what is the evil that is in their heart. They're in rebellion to God. And so God wipes out the world with a flood. Now, come with me to when Noah and his family come out of the ark. God says, okay, I'm going to give it one more time. We're going to start this thing over again one more time. We're going to start over, just like we did in the Garden of Eden. We're going to start with one family. We're going to start with one truth. Remember, there's nobody else on the earth. It's just Noah and his three sons and wives. They come out of that. There's eight people on the earth. It starts over brand new. What do you got? One God, one true God. And one revelation to Noah. How do we know that? Look at chapter 8 and verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto Jehovah. This is the right religion, the true religion, the proper religion. One reason, why did Noah bring the clean animals on the ark? Do you remember why he did that? That was so that he could offer up sacrifices when he got out of the ark. It's not just a matter of having a bunch of animals on the ark to repopulate the earth. That was one purpose. But in chapter 7, the purpose for the clean animals was for sacrifice when he got out of the ark. There's nobody else on the face of the earth but this one family. They're doing the authorized worship of God during the patriarchal period. But what happens? The same thing that happened with Cain and everybody else that digressed and rebelled. They start leaving God again. So come down with me to chapter 11 and verse 1. Come with me to chapter 11 and verse 1. It starts off the same way each time. In the garden, one true God, one revelation from God, one religion from God, one way to worship God, by faith in God's Word. Well, some people don't want that, so they deviate, they rebel, and it leads to a whole world of wickedness. God cleans the world with a flood. He starts it all over again. I'm going to give him another chance. He starts it all over again with one true God, one revelation to Noah, no divergence, no rebellion, no multiplicity of religions. But what happens after a few years?
When Noah and his family spread all over the earth, what happened? Well, look at chapter 11 in verse 1, what we call the Tower of Babel.
This is how you're explaining to your friends, where do all of these religions come from? They come from man being in rebellion to God. And the answer is going to be, there's one way back to God. There's one way back. It's not a matter of just pick any road, pick any religion. These religions are in rebellion to God. They've left God. They've left the Word of God. Look at Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heavens. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. They are in rebellion. They wanted to build themselves up. And so Jehovah, the rest of the story, you know it, how he scatters them and they leave off building that. What is that? That is man in rebellion to God. We are going to build something so that we can be a name for ourselves. That sets the stage then for a multiplicity of other types of religions. Do you know that Buddhism and Hinduism existed in the Old Testament times? That was not just something a few years ago. These are religions that are existing when, for example, the Israelites are in Canaan. And they're going into the Babylonian captivity. Buddhism, Hinduism, where do those things come from? Over in the East, over in the Orient. It's from people leaving God, rebelling God, doing something other than what God says. So, number one, man-made religions are in rebellion to God. Now, let's give a few examples of these today. First of all, there's what we might call secular religions. Agnosticism says we can't know that there's a God. Atheism says that there is no God. Humanism says that man is the measure of all things. When you look at agnosticism, atheism, humanism, these things are in rebellion to the one true God. Humanism says that we don't need God in our life. There is no God. We don't need God in our life. Let me ask you this. Whenever you see a person or a group of people without God in their life, are they bettering people around them like Hitler, or are they making things worse? Whenever you find people that don't want God in their life, they're always causing trouble. There's always a problem that follows. Let's look at world religions. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, what's called animism. These are Native American religions, Aborigines, African tribes, Polynesians, and a whole group of other religions. What about these people? These are religions that have some false view of God. They've rebelled in some way against the one true communication from God, and they've said, we're going to do something a little bit different. And so it's in rebellion to that original message. Look at it. When Noah got off the ark, listen, when Noah got off the ark, there was just one way to worship. Just one way. That's it. It was one family. That was the right way. Well, as you begin to have sons and daughters and they marry and everybody else marries and you get down to the Tower of Babel, now we've got all these people and many of them are not wanting the one true God. So this is before Abraham. They're setting up this idea of we can just go all over the earth and just sort of have any kind of religion. And it can be in rebellion to the one true God. Let's look at a few of these. Islam, their God, is just one. Jesus is not the divine Son of God. He was a teacher, but he was just a man. Hinduism and Buddhism, it's the opposite. All things are God. This piece of wood is God. This microphone is God. This computer is God. Every particle of the universe is God. Well, that's obviously a divergent view and in rebellion to the truth of God's Word. Animistic religions. This would be Native American Indians and Aborigines and others. Everything around us is a spirit God-like substance, small g, like trees have the tree spirits and the cloud spirits and the wind spirits. That's a divergent view from the truth of God's Word. All world religions have something about God
that is in rebellion to the truth of the one true God. And one other point on this before we move along to cult religions. Have you ever wondered why the religion of Islam has the moon, the crescent moon, on much of their materials, on their flags? It's on all kinds of logos. Have you ever seen the moon, the crescent moon, and the star? Do you know what that is? This is a little known fact that many people don't even think about. We're saying so much today about how that Islam is right, Islam is okay, Islam is just another way to God, and people don't even do the history, they don't even do the research, they don't even do the study. Listen, Muhammad in the early 600s AD, he was not a Jew, he was not worshiping God. He was not following his Bible, and then he said, I just want to start something that kind of gets back to the God of Abraham. Have you ever noticed when Muslims talk, they talk about Allah being the God of Abraham and the God of the Old Testament? And you begin to think, well, Muhammad was just a man trying to get people back to the Old Testament. Listen, he had nothing to do with studying the Old Testament. He was a pagan idolater in Saudi Arabia, what is modern-day Saudi Arabia. He was a member of a tribe that worshipped hundreds of false idols. He wasn't even associating himself with the Jews of the Old Testament. He picked one of those gods. Do you know which one he picked? Allah, who at that time was the God of the moon. There were hundreds of other gods that they were worshiping. He said, I want to start a religion. I'm going to pick one of these hundreds of gods. I'll pick the moon god. His name is Allah. Little people know that. Islam is founded on a man who just picked one of a bunch of false gods and said, that's the God of the Old Testament. And we come along today saying, well, you know, all religions are fine. They're all helpful. That, from the get-go, was based on idolatry. When the Muslims went into France in the Middle Ages and they were going around the world conquering the world, they went into France. You ever had a crescent roll? Do you know what a crescent roll is? They would bake their bread in the shape of a moon, and that caught on. And there are many people today from that influence that bake their bread in the shape of a moon. Allah was the moon god. That Muhammad said, well, I've got to pick one. I'm going to pick that one and go with that one. What a shame. That many just will not educate themselves and learn and grow and study. But it's just, all religions are fine. The same with Buddha and Confucius and these individuals in the East. They're starting religions, they're founding religions based upon some false idea that they have in their mind and in rebellion to God. Then we have cult religions. Mormonism believes that everybody can be God. You can be God one day. They don't tell you that when they come and knock on your door. But they want you to follow their religion so that one day, listen, you can be God and have your own planet and propagate that planet. Just like Adam and Eve were once gods and came to this planet and propagated this planet. It's a false view of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. Other cults like Christian Science and Unitarianism and the Worldwide Church of God, the Sun Yung Moon, the Unification Church, they all have various falsities about them in relationship to God. Man-made religions are in rebellion to God's true Word. We're setting up the stage then for Christianity. But there's one other thing we need to talk about. What about denominations? It's a very simple passage. Turn with me to Luke 6:46. Don't be sidetracked. Somebody might say, well, I can see the evil of Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism, but not American denominations. Listen, they can be just as much in rebellion to God. And we have friends in these churches. Listen to me carefully. I'm not putting someone down. I'm not poking fun of someone. I'm not trying to belittle someone, but it's the same point. Rebellion is rebellion. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6:46. We can be just as much in rebellion in a Presbyterian church, a Lutheran church, a Baptist church, a Catholic church, a Church of Christ, or anything else. That is no different than someone else. Rebellion is rebellion. Not doing what Jesus said, it doesn't matter if you started off with Lord, Lord. Well, I attend a Methodist church. Lord, Lord. Well, that makes everything else after that okay. No, you can call me Lord, Lord, but if you do not the things that I say, you're not actually following me. Many denominations, like our Baptist friends, Presbyterian, Catholics, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalian, and even us, if we're not careful, deny various truths that Jesus taught, and so they form these other religions. God's Word does not approve of a divided denominationalism that exists today. He built one church, Matthew 16:18. Division, 1 Corinthians 1:10-13, is appalling to God. It's contrary to His prayer in John 17:20-21. So the religious world today is in rebellion to the one true God. That's how it all got started. And that's how it continues to exist today. So let's look at our second point now. Christianity is the only way back from that rebellion. Why? Turn with me to John 1. If man-made religion is in rebellion and leaves God, listen closely, the only way I can come back to God is to have someone who came from God and tells me who God really is and what I need to do to be right with God. I can't get that from Buddha. He's not come from God. He's not God's messenger. I can't get that from Muhammad. I can't get that from Confucius. I can't get that from cults and denominations. I've got to get that from Jesus. He's the one who came from God. He can lead me back to God. This is how you present your case. It's not a matter of, well, you like Christianity and I like Islam, so let's just all agree to disagree. It's not. You can't do that. Because at the end of the day, who is to say that the church of Satanism is the way to God? Is it just a matter of we kind of talk for a little while and then, well, let's just all agree to disagree and go home. Have a good old time. No, we've got to solve this. We've got to address this. So if you're sitting around, somebody says, well, I'm a Muslim, and I'm a Buddhist, and I'm a Hindu, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a member of a cult, and I'm an atheist, or whatever, we've got to deal with that. Just agreeing to disagree will not solve this issue. So the point is that man-made religion is in rebellion to God. How can I come back to God? I need someone who has come from God to get me back to God. And so in John 1 and verse 1, Jesus, in the beginning, speaking of Jesus, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now come down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory. Now come to verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him. Jesus shows us God. He came from heaven. Verse 1, verse 14. He can get us back to heaven. He's the only way. The only way back to God is someone who can truly represent God. Let me ask you this. If you were back in the days of Adam and Eve, who would you ask to get you back to God? Would you ask Abel or would you ask Cain? Who would you ask? Well, Abel offered up his sacrifice by faith, so you would need to ask Abel. Cain was not offering up his sacrifice right. Who do we go to get us back to God? The one who came from God and truly represents God. Now come back with me to the scripture reading that we had earlier in John chapter 14. And I asked Shannon to stop at verse 9 because I wanted to wait on this point for right now in our lesson. Let's read the very next verse, John 14 verse 10. Why is it that Jesus, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. Why can Jesus say that and not Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or a thousand other people? Why can Jesus say that and not these other people? Why is Jesus the only way back to God? Look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in Me? He came from God. They are one. He said in John 10, the Father and I are one. That's why Jesus is the only way back to God. He's the only one that has been God, has been with God, is one with God. That's why these other religions are not the way. They've never been close to God. They are not the way. Jesus is because He and the Father are one. They are in each other. In other words, in unity, in fellowship. And then Jesus confirmed all of this with miracles. Ultimately, the resurrection. Listen, Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius cannot make this claim. They cannot make it. That's why we don't follow those religions. So, Jesus Christ is the only true representation. John 1 in verse 18, where it says, He hath declared Him. The Greek word means to exegete, to bring out. Jesus is the only one that can bring out God because He is God, verse 1. He has come from God. He's gone back to God. He's trying to lead us to God. He's the only one that can do that. He is the I Am, John 8, 24. He's deity. That's why Christianity is the only way to God, because Jesus is the only true representation of God. Anything else would be God-like. It would be close or have some elements of truth in it, but it would not be the one true religion. Let me ask you this. Did Cain's sacrifice, did it look similar to Abel's sacrifice? Yeah, they were both sacrifices, and I'm sure there was some similarity there. But similarity is not what counts. Doing exactly what God's Word says is what counts. And so we have to get the true representation of what God wants, and that's through Jesus Christ, because He came from God and is God. And number two, because the Bible is the only true representation of God's Word. All these other books, the Quran, the Hindu Vedas, and a host of other kinds of books, they're books. They have religious statements, but they aren't the true Word of God. Remember the study that we had on the whole study on, is the Bible the Word of God? The reason we did that earlier in the series is to lay the groundwork for this point right here. If the Bible is the one and only Word of God, then it is the one and only way that we can get back to God. It is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. And of course, the authors of the Bible books confirmed that in miracles. Listen, I'm not a Mormon, and this is why. It's not because, well, Chris was not raised a Mormon, so that's why he's not a Mormon. I'm not a Mormon because Joseph Smith has no true representation of God. He can't tell me what God wants. And number two, his book that he wrote is not confirmed as the Word of God. Jesus is the one and only way. The Bible has been confirmed through evidence that is the only true representation of God's Word. That's why I'm a Christian and not a Mormon, or a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or a host of other things. There's only one way back from this rebellion, and that is through Jesus Christ and the words of Christ. That is presenting the case in a positive way. Now, we need to answer some objections and then close this morning. Number one, and this comes up a lot. Many terrible things, like the Crusades and the Spanish Inquisition back in the Middle Ages, many things have been done in the name of Christianity that are just terrible, and that's true. Do you remember in your world history back in the Middle Ages that the Catholic Church sent out knights? They had crosses on their shields and on their flags. They sent out to kill in the name of Jesus Christ and eradicate Muslims, especially from Palestine and other. They were slaughtering people in the name of Jesus Christ. And so one objection that's going to come up is, wait a minute, how can Christianity be the only way to God when back in the Middle Ages, they were slaughtering people right and left? Women, babies? That can't be right. How would you answer that? Well, when terrible things are done in the name of Christ, those who do it are wrong. The Catholic Church was dead wrong in doing that. They should not have done that. That was wrong. Doing something in the name of the Lord doesn't necessarily make that person right. In Matthew chapter 7, there are people that are going to stand in the judgment day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and did we not do that? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You can do something in the name of Christ and it can be dead wrong. And they were wrong for doing that. But listen, when Christianity is practiced the way it's supposed to be practiced, there won't be any of that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. The way you get people out of Islam is not go into their country and slaughter them. The way you get people to get out of Islam is to take the gospel to them and practice the fruit of the spirits and other things that we need to do, the fruit of the spirit, excuse me. And so it's not killing people, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and so forth. Just because people put a black eye on Christianity doesn't mean that Christianity is wrong.
There will be many people that will put a black eye and a black mark on Christianity. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong. When it's practiced the way it's supposed to be practiced, it brings people to God. Number two, there are many who claim to be Christians, but they're just plain old hypocrites. And you know what? They're right. There are many people who claim to be Christians, and maybe some among churches of Christ who claim to be Christians, but they have bad words and bad language and do immoral kinds of things. And we just simply need to remember that all hypocrites, whether they're religious or atheist, it doesn't matter, they're going to be judged and condemned. God does not approve of hypocrisy. But just because you find folks being hypocrites in the name of Christianity doesn't mean that Christianity is wrong. The fact of the matter is, there are many people who are genuine and sincere. We just finished a study of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 6:24, where Paul closes that letter by saying that we are to serve Jesus and God with a sincere love. And there are many people who do that. And they go to their dying day doing that. Christianity is not wrong because you can find a few hypocrites and because you can find a few that give it a black name and a black eye. It's right. It's right because Jesus is the only way and God's Word is the only way. Objection number three, all religions have valid truth claims. In other words, all religions have elements of truth in it. Buddhism, Hinduism. I read from you a couple weeks ago from the Compassionate Buddha. I read a passage there that it almost sounds straight out of the Sermon on the Mount. Buddha said some things that were great. You can read the Quran, and there's some things in there about treating your neighbor kindly and sharing and helping the poor. And the bottom line is that all religions are true, have truth in it. The problem is that the truth is not the problem. Do you know that even Satan speaks the truth? In the Church of Satan, they have a satanic Bible. It's their creed book. When you read that book, and you can read it online, read it, you'll find elements of truth in it. I've read it. I've read portions of it, and there's truth in it. It's the error that's mixed in. It's the falsehood that's mixed in at the same time that causes the problem. Just like in the rat poison and other kinds of things, it's not the 99% good that kills the rat. It's the 1% falsehood and error and poison that kills the rat. Yes, all religions, even the Church of Satan, has elements of truth in it. But what makes them wrong is the falsehood that is interjected at the same time. Number four, all religions offer a valuable way of life. Well, this is similar to what we just noticed. You can practice all kinds of religions, and there's going to be some value there that will help you make it through the day. They contain elements of truth, that type of thing. But the bottom line is, Jesus offers forgiveness of sins in this life and a hope of heaven in the life to come. Other religions do not offer that. They either, like the Eastern religions, they offer endless cycles of reincarnation, or you don't live at all when you die, or no hope, and we could just go on and on and on. Do you know why suicide bombers in Palestine are blowing up people and themselves in buses? Their own record is saying, Muhammad promised me the 72 virgins in Palestine. I want my 72 virgins. Sometimes religions are offering sensual things and sexual things. Little people know this, but in the Quran, if you die a faithful Muslim, not only do you get your 72 virgins, but it says you can have as much drink as you want. You can drink and drink and drink, and it says you will drink intoxicating wine, but won't get intoxicated. I'm not really sure how that happens. Do you see how Muhammad is sitting in a desert dwelling thinking about what would be some nice things to have? And he's thinking about women and alcohol. And lo and behold, it ends up in the Quran. We don't look at that. We don't investigate that. We don't openly and honestly address that. We just sort of in a back circuit, well, all religions are fine. Jesus didn't come to offer us alcohol and women.
His ideal and standard is much higher than that. And so, no, not all religions offer this way of life that's just all equal among all religions. Christianity offers the better way of life. Jesus was just a mystic guru like other Eastern religious men. No, he was a Palestinian Jew who taught the very word of God, and there's much that could be said here. I'll just mention a few things. He was not a Hindu. Some people actually believe that he was a Hindu, and he's just like Buddha and Confucius and all other Eastern individuals. He taught what he taught could be verified outwardly by God's word. He didn't have this private inner feeling. When those Eastern religions were getting started, followers would come to the man sitting cross-legged up on the top of the mountain. He said, "I just have an inner feeling that I want to share with you." It wasn't that. He confirmed his word with miracles. He taught what could be verified in the word of God. And there are many other differences that show that he's not just simply some Hindu mystic guru. And then, last of all, this is a very common question that you're gonna be asked, and that is, well, if Christianity is the only way, what about those who have never heard about Jesus? And they always bring up the guy living out on the island. How can you say that they're lost? We've got to be ready to answer this question. Well, first of all, God has revealed Himself to everyone in His general creation. Everyone living today can know that there is a God when they look at the created universe. And Paul said in Romans 1:20, they are without excuse. So everyone can know. It doesn't matter where you're living on the face of this earth. North Pole, South Pole, some isolated island, you know, in the Polynesian Islands somewhere. You can know that there's a God. Number two, God has revealed Himself to everyone in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel has gone into all the world, Colossians 1:23, and continues to do so. So God has revealed Himself, and they are without excuse. And number two, when mankind is told to seek God, God has promised that He will be found of Him, Matthew 7 and Acts 17. So the onus is not on us. Well, what about the islander out there? The onus is on them. They have revelation from God. They need to follow God and come to God's Word. Well, we close with the fact that Satan has attacked us from the very beginning. Did you notice in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan came to Adam and Eve, what was his first attack? What was the first thing he did? You can be like God. From the very beginning, Satan has tried to get man to have a false relationship with his Creator. And from there on, we have had problems. And the only way back to God is through Jesus Christ and His Word. It's the only reasonable and rational way back. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your attention and participation this morning. Is Christianity the only way? The answer is yes, absolutely yes. And when we say that, and we say that you cannot go to heaven in any other way, listen to me, it may not be happening with us, but with our children and with our grandchildren and with our great-grandchildren, it's going to become even more meaningful to them who have to defend this. Right now, when we leave this building and when you go to work tomorrow, if you were to say, I believe that Christianity is the only way, you probably are just not going to get a lot of flack over that. But as our country, as Christianity in our country decreases and falls away, and as Islam and other religions gain ground, then your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, they are going to have a problem with that. So we have to be teaching them, and we have to be practicing the truth of God's Word. One other statistic, and then I'll leave it with you. You count up every elementary school, junior high school, college, and university. Count them all up in our country, every one of them. Count them up. You'll be in about the 20,000 range. Count them all up. In just the one island country of Indonesia, there are 10,000 more Muslim schools in just that one island country than all of the schools added up in America. 95% of those Muslim schools in Indonesia are teaching the Quran and the way of the Quran. First of all, we're not even teaching Christianity in our schools. Even if we were, there would be 10,000 more Muslim schools just in Indonesia. And that's just Indonesia. Get a globe and look at Indonesia. What about the rest of the world where it's being taught? So don't think that this is something that we're not going to have to deal with. First of all, we're not even teaching Christianity in our schools. If we were, there would be 10,000 more schools just in Indonesia teaching the Islamic faith. So the point simply is that every day, world religions, be it Islam or some other, they're gaining ground, and Christianity is just slowly phasing out. And so we may not be pressed tomorrow to deal with this question, but someone down the road trying to live faithfully before the Lord will be pressed, and they may be pressed physically and be physically persecuted for that. So we have to be ready to help others come out of that dark rebellion to God and come back to the light of truth. If you're subject this morning to the invitation, if we can assist you in making your life right, when there's sin in our life, that's rebellion to God. Have that sin washed away in baptism. Come, repenting of your sins. Let's not be in rebellion. Let's be in obedience to God. And as an unfaithful child of God, that's rebellion as well. If we need to come back in some way, why don't you do that as we stand and sing this morning?